Welcome to the Jam Pack Report today for July the 9th of 2023. I'm Jam Pack Sam, and on today's show we are talking about a potential PlayStation 5 Slim leaked by Microsoft. They could know something that we don't, and a new console iteration could be on the way later this year. We're also talking about the new Mortal Kombat 1 trailer, Malignant's running rampant in Diablo 4 with a brand new season on the way, an ID at Xbox Demo Fest, and more. So without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into it. Starting off today's show, we head to Tom Warren over at The Verge, who writes, Microsoft thinks we are getting a PS5 Slim model later this year that might be priced at $399. The software giant is currently waiting a ruling in the FTC versus Microsoft hearing, and as part of the case, Microsoft has filed documents which reveal it thinks a PS5 Slim is on the way later this year. Here's exactly what Microsoft says. PlayStation likewise sells a less expensive digital edition for $399 and is expected to release a PlayStation 5 Slim later this year at the same reduced price point. Insider Gaming reported last year that Sony was preparing for a PS5 with a detachable disc drive for September 2023. The console is rumored to be sold on its own without a disc drive or in a bundle, which suggests Sony could be considering making the slimmer version of the PS5 the default. This would allow people to pick with or without a bundle drive, with the option to add a drive later on if needed. Currently, you have to either buy a $399 PS5 digital edition or the $499 PS5 with a disc drive, but there is no option to connect an optical drive at a later date. Microsoft's prediction also has a footnote that says Sony is also anticipated to release a handheld version of PlayStation 5 later this year for under $300, which isn't fully accurate. Sony is planning a handheld device later this year that can run PS5 games by streaming them over Wi-Fi from a PS5 console. Microsoft doesn't cite any third-party sources for the PS5 Slim timing or pricing in its findings of fact and conclusion of law document. If Microsoft's knowledge of Sony's planned PlayStation hardware is accurate, it wouldn't be the first time we've seen secrets spill in the FTC versus Microsoft case, and if you want more on that, Tom Warren has some great coverage over at The Verge. We've talked about it on multiple different episodes of the show over the past 2 weeks. But personally, I think this makes a ton of sense because of the way that the PlayStation audience is set up right now. They are having to produce two different versions of ultimately the same exact hardware with one slight variation. They have to make the digital edition for those that don't want to buy physical media and that do want that more affordable console, and then they have to produce the model that's more expensive that also accepts physical media. And so if you were able to streamline both of those consoles together into one product line, you could make production so much easier. You could potentially amplify production and get even more PlayStations out in the wild, and you still get those headlines of PlayStation 5 gets $100 price cut. Even if you do have to go out and buy a physical disc drive later, it still immediately makes the PlayStation 5 more accessible. And then if you find yourself playing more digital games, maybe you don't go get that optical drive. Maybe you don't feel like you have to go pick one of those up. The biggest outstanding question that I have is, what will this new Slim model look like? Because it's inevitable, it is going to happen. So is it going to be something that's more iterative, where it is basically a PlayStation 5, but the disc drive part that you see here in this picture is cut off just a little bit and you can just slide it on, almost like you're slotting it into a spot on the console for that? Or is it a PlayStation 5 digital edition that is just at $399 and then you can just plug an optical drive into the USB port and play your games that way? Is that even something that's possible? So those are the questions that I have. What does it look like? Will it feel clunky? Will it feel like an afterthought? I'm sure that knowing Sony, they're definitely taking this with a sense of intentionality. They're taking their time to design something that works, because when you look back at the PlayStation 4 generation, a lot of people remember that day one PlayStation 4, but the PlayStation 4 Slim is the one that really drove that thing to the height that it's at today in terms of not only player count, but also overall lifetime sales figures. The Slim model was a big leap forward because that thing is so tiny and it did so much. The PlayStation 5 is huge, so it would be nice to see them remodel it, streamline that design a little bit, maybe make it blend in with the room a little bit more if you're talking about the living room. That's one thing I like about the Xbox Series X. It does look better whenever you're looking at a TV setup versus this PlayStation 5. Now, don't get me wrong, the PlayStation 5 definitely looks cool, but it's this big alien piece of technology that's sitting in the middle of my living room, not exactly aesthetic, next to the IKEA plant and light. So it would be cool to see them make something that's a little bit more fitting into the home. Maybe think about what it would look like to be smaller. You know, thinking about dorm rooms, it would be cool to see something that's more compact, but without sacrificing that power that the PlayStation 5 brings. So I would say these reports are probably going to be accurate. I think that it makes sense, even looking at the timeline of the PlayStation 4. I mean, that thing came out in 2013. We get the PlayStation 4 Slim in 2016, roughly 3 years later. Well, the PlayStation 5 came out in 2020. Here we are in 2023. So while it may not seem like it, we are basically at that point in the generation. So stay tuned. You're probably going to be seeing some news on a PlayStation 5 Slim sooner rather than later. And on that PlayStation 5 Slim, you will be able to play Scorn. Going over to Marcus Stewart at Game Informer, he writes, Scorn invites PlayStation 5 players to its unsettling world this fall. Scorn was one of the most enigmatic and polarizing games when it crept to Xbox and PC last fall. Some love it, some despise it, and PlayStation fans will get to see which side of the fence they fall on when it hits PlayStation 5 this fall. Despite appearing like a shooter on its surface, Scorn is an atmospheric, puzzle-focused experience. As a strange humanoid creature, you'll explore a labyrinthian H.R. Geiger-inspired alien world. We'll throw back there, a little deep cut, to unravel its mysteries. While combat is present, it's very much secondary to deciphering the abstract story and riddles, and even those revelations will primarily be up to your interpretation. The PlayStation 5 version features DualSense haptic feedback support and 4K 60fps gameplay, and you can check out the new trailer down below. So if you have not played Scorn, it is still available on Game Pass. You can dive in on your console right now, and it is beautiful, very good-looking game, especially for the AA level, indie level kind of devs that put this out. It is creepy. It is gross. I believe that whenever the game launched, it was described as squelchy, I think is how they said it. But it's cool to see more games coming to more places. I'm not somebody who is trying to lock games down to a specific console. Of course, console exclusives, as we've talked about over the course of the past couple of weeks, are just a part of the console world that we're living in and the gaming industry that we are all a part of. But Scorn is something that is going to cater to a specific audience that's a fan of those horror experiences, that's a fan of puzzle solving, and that's a fan of those creepy, disgusting little antics that this game brings. And while it wasn't something that was for me, I played it for probably about 2 or 3 hours maybe, and then I put it down, it is nice to see it finally coming over to the PlayStation 5. So if you do want to check it out, you can dive in this fall with 4K 60, the DualSense haptic feedback, all of those nice bells and whistles that the PlayStation 5 brings. Another game dropping this fall, though, is Mortal Kombat 1, and it is disgusting in a way that even Scorn wishes that it was, because this new trailer that came out, and we'll talk about it and check it out more in a moment, is absolutely fantastic. But over at Eurogamer, they write, Mortal Kombat 1 confirms Smoke and Rain as returning playable fighters, plus Scorpion, Frost, and more as cameo fighters. The steady drip of Mortal Kombat 1 info continues in the run-up to the sort of rebooted Fighters 19th of September launch, with developer NetherRealm having now confirmed Smoke and Rain as playable characters, alongside some familiar faces returning as assistive cameos. Not including today's announcements, NetherRealm has so far confirmed a total of 10 playable characters for Mortal Kombat 1. So just to recap, we are now up to 12, including Smoke and Rain. But those other 10 are Johnny Cage, Kenshi, Kitana, Kung Lao, Liu Kang, Milena, Raiden, Scorpion, Shang Tsung, available via pre-order, and Sub-Zero. Two more additions have now been revealed as part of NetherRealm's latest Combat Cast livestream. Assassin-turned-Cyborg Smoke is in, marking his first playable experience in the main series since 2011's Mortal Kombat reboot. He is joined by Moody Demigod Rain, who has not been benched quite so long, having appeared in Mortal Kombat 11 as a DLC character. Alongside those new playable characters, NetherRealm has also confirmed a number of characters who will be joining Mortal Kombat 1 as assist-style cameo fighters: Cyrax, Frost, Scorpion, and Sector. That second Scorpion, as with the second Johnny Cage appearing in the cameo lineup, is possible because cameo fighters aren't considered to be canon, or are considered to be non-canon. I guess that goes both ways. Mortal Kombat 1, which is set in a reborn universe created by the fire god Liu Kang, will be available on Xbox Series X, S, PlayStation 5, and PC when it launches on September the 19th. And as you can see, with the YouTube embed, it is restricted because this is an age-restricted video. It's only available for those 18+. Buckle up, because here we go. Here's a look at what you're getting with Mortal Kombat 1. these trailers just do it for me. And of course, these are very graphic, very gruesome. The more you get into it, the more that you see. I actually put out a YouTube short on this one a couple of days ago. And as soon as I hit the upload button on that thing, it was like, oh, age rating that bad boy, because there is some stuff that should not be seen by kids in there. And that is exactly what Mortal Kombat is all about. You look back at the Mortal Kombat franchise, it's all about the brutalities, the fatalities, all of the in-betweens, the characters, the personalities that are being brought here. Johnny Cage is one of my favorites personally. And so it's cool to see Mortal Kombat getting a reboot that is welcoming new fans into the franchise, while also giving something new for those old school fans, where you see different kinds of relationships, different kinds of alliances in this classic cast of characters that so many people have grown up with since they first started playing Mortal Kombat back in the 80s and 90s. I believe it was a 90s game primarily. But absolutely gorgeous game, first and foremost. Looks like a next generation fighter. Can't wait to see what it looks like on the Nintendo Switch. That's the trailer that I'm going to be looking forward to seeing, because what you're looking at right now is a visual showcase. They are showing you how good the game can look, especially when you look at these X-ray attacks and things like that, where you can really see the damage being done to some of these characters. What's that going to look like on the weaker hardware? Because I know I'm looking at this for the next generation consoles, and I'm not somebody who's going to be playing Mortal Kombat 1 on the Switch, but I definitely want to see how they translate this kind of action over to something like the Switch. Check out the trailer for yourself. Go give it a look. Definitely worth the full watch, because the trailer at the very end definitely shows you some pretty crazy fatalities, and we keep getting more and more with every new trailer. It just gets a little bit more gruesome every time, and when that game finally launches in September, oh yeah, we're going to be in for a treat on that one without a doubt. However, if you are a Diablo fan, you are going to be in for a treat, because Malignance runs rampant in the first season of Diablo 4. Well met, Wanderer. Corruption has befallen Sanctuary in Season of the Malignant, the first season of Diablo 4. On July 20th at 10 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, a new season journey, questline, boss, dungeons, battle pass, and more will go live. We'll give you a preview below. On July 18th, we'll release another article shedding even more light on what's coming with the new season, including 6 new unique items, and 7 legendary aspects. So, getting into the meat of it, Season of the Malignant's theme. A deviant form of Lilith's sinister machinations has given birth to a new threat, malignant monsters. These decaying abominations roam Sanctuary in a frenzy, mindlessly attacking anyone in range without hesitation. Wanderers will investigate this mysterious malady and new quest lines with the help of Coromant, a former priest of the Cathedral of Light who also trains you to capture the malignant hearts fueling these foul beasts and convert them into build-altering powers. The malignancy that's taken hold of the Burning Hell's armies cannot remain unchecked. You must snuff it out at the source before all of Sanctuary becomes its thrall. You can check out the announcement trailer right here, but overall, this is giving players more content to keep them coming back to Diablo 4. You know, if you are a World Tier 4 player right now, you've been playing for hundreds of hours, this gives you a little bit more of a narrative. This brings new elements into the game, some things that can keep players entertained. And the real question is, how welcoming will the monetization be? Because a lot of players going into Diablo 4 had a fear that it would become Diablo Immortal with better graphics, where it's just heavily monetized in every way possible. From what I'm seeing, it seems like the Battle Pass and the cosmetics are really the only things that are driving monetization this season. But once it launches, once we see how the store potentially changes and how they start baking a regular content cadence into the future of Diablo 4, that's when the truth is really going to come out. And if there's one thing I've learned from being slightly in tune with the Diablo community over the course of the past couple of months, it's that there is a very vocal community around this game. And even with Diablo Immortal, it was immediately apparent that fans were not excited about how much monetization was thrown into that experience from day one. And it feels like Blizzard heard them. From what I'm seeing, hearing from people online, it seems like the Battle Pass is really the only thing that can be experienced. There are no narrative elements locked behind a paywall or anything like that. So if you are a casual player like myself, and you want to go back, see what those new storylines are, you should be able to do that without having to spend too much money, if any money at all. So dive in, check it out, launching on July the 20th, with more info coming on July the 18th. But between now and July the 18th, you can check out the ID at Xbox Demo Fest, which starts on July the 11th and runs all the way to the 17th. Jessica Ronald, the ID at Xbox Events and Community Management Lead, writes, "We are back. What's summer without new game demos to entertain you during those hot days and nights? Starting July 11th and running until July 17th, you'll be able to experience over 40 game demos on your Xbox console. A few things to keep in mind. These demos will only be up on the Xbox dashboard for 1 week. Some might be republished to the demo channel later, but many will simply disappear at the end of the week, so check them out while you can. The developers would love to hear what you think. Hit them up on social media or through their websites, and if you like the game, tell them. If you have constructive criticism, they would love to hear that too. These game demos are not the norm. Typically, you see demos in our demo channel, and they're created after the game is completed or nearly completed and represent an almost final version. Think of these as akin to show floor demos and not necessarily indicative of the final product. What that means is that you'll get to experience these games early, some way early, which is awesome since you'll have the chance to provide your feedback. You should also note that these games will continue to evolve and be polished as they near their release, and they'll announce the full list on July the 11th, but here's a little bit of stuff you can kind of look forward to. We have Demon School coming from Necrosoft Games. We have Lies of P, which the demo has been out now and out for a while. Really good little Souls-like game there, I would say. Sea of Stars, a very highly anticipated indie that actually got the cover of Game Informer a couple of months ago, which was cool to see. The Wandering Village, one that I've been following from Stray Fawn Studio. Worldless from No Name and CodeSync, and more are all on the way. So tune in, dive in, play some of these demos at the ID at Xbox Demo Fest, and for me, this is a cool way to discover new experiences. A lot like we see with Xbox Game Pass every single month. Go in with an open mind, you know, play some games you might not normally play, and consider this your ticket to an event like Summer Game Fest, where if you are completely outside of these areas where they hold Summer Game Fest events, E3s, Gamescoms, that kind of thing, you can check out gameplay demos that are probably pretty close, if not the exact copy, of what was shown off during the event, of what press got their hands on whenever they started talking about these games and writing up their first impressions. So that's a really cool experience to have. Of course, we'll revisit this in a couple of weeks once we have the entire list. I love diving into the ID at Xbox demo event, and if any of those demos that I listed off strike your fancy, let me know down below. And if there is a game you would love to see a demo for, I would love to see it down in the comments. But to wrap up today's show, we have a new list of games coming soon to Xbox Game Pass, some of which are out now. Megan Spur, community lead over at Xbox Game Pass, writes, "What do heist, dinosaurs falling out of the skies, and puzzles all have in common? If it is anything other than games coming to Xbox Game Pass, I would very much like to know." We have games coming soon that we announced during the Xbox and Bethesda showcase, looking at you, Exoprimal, and we even have a surprise return today with Grand Theft Auto V. Let's get to the games. So, available today, we do have Grand Theft Auto V on cloud and console, and this is the first time the Xbox Series X and S version of the game has been on the service, the third time overall it has been included in Game Pass. We also have Sword and Fairy Together Forever on cloud, console, and PC. Coming soon on July the 6th, which by the time you're watching this will be out now, we have MiGpixel 3 on cloud, console, and PC. Then on July the 11th, we have Common Hood on cloud, console, and PC, and Insurgency Sandstorm coming to PC. On July the 14th, Exoprimal drops on day one with Xbox Game Pass on cloud, console, and PC. This is the Capcom Dinosaurs Falling Out of the Skies, almost Dino Crisis, but not game. It'll be an interesting one to follow along with. And again, that launches on July the 14th. Then on July the 18th, we have a game coming from Game Preview into Game Pass available on day one called Tectonica on cloud, console, and PC. In this game, you'll dig into the subsurface, bioluminescent world of a rogue alien planet as you explore and construct sprawling factories in Tectonica. I checked out some gameplay. I wanted to give you an inside look at what it is, and it certainly is not going to be something that's for everybody, but the game preview games give you a little behind-the-scenes look, kind of like the demo event that we talked about a couple of moments ago. It's cool to get in on the game early. This is the equivalent of Steam Early Access. Also on the 18th, we have The Cave coming to cloud and console, and it's an adventure game from Monkey Island and Maniac Mansion creator Ron Gilbert, so you can dive in and check that out. DLC and game updates are also on the way. We have a Barbie crossover in Forza Horizon 5. I've seen some coverage on that one through the past couple of weeks. The FIFA 23 Women's World Cup is available now. Hi-Fi Rush Arcade Challenge update is also available now with two new ways to play in the update, and it's a free edition for all Hi-Fi Rush players. Wolong Fallen Dynasty, The Battle of Zhongwan DLC is available now. I picked this one up, and if you want to as well, you can actually get 10% off thanks to Game Pass. And there are new scenarios, and you can face new demons in Wolong Fallen Dynasty's first DLC. Sniper Elite 5 also gets a Kraken Awakes DLC, launching on July the 6th, so out now. And then you also have some Game Pass Ultimate perks with Madden NFL 23 and Sea of Thieves both getting the spotlight there. Now we get to the sad part, the games that are leaving starting on July the 15th. XO1. You need to play XO1. This is the most laid-back, strange game that I probably played last year, and it's just a really good coffee game. That's the way I describe it, where you can just sit down, play it, not too much thinking going on there, but a really cool vibe. So check that one out on Cloud Console or PC before it leaves on July the 15th. Alongside that, we have Paw Patrol, the movie Adventure City Calls, and Spelunky 2 both leaving the service. I've never been a big Spelunky guy myself, but I know many of you out there are. So if you want to keep any of these for the long term, you can pay and get 20% off if you do have that Game Pass Ultimate membership, which is always a nice perk to have. A little bit of a lighter July, in my opinion. It is nice to see a big hitter like Grand Theft Auto 5. Cool to see Insurgency Sandstorm coming over to the PC side of things. I know it's been available on console for a while. A big day one drop with Exo Primal. That's a pretty big summer game. But I'm looking forward to the fall. You know, we got Forza Motorsport on the way. We've got Starfield, many other games yet to be announced. Cool stuff all around, but if you do want to dive into any of these, they're going to be launching some now, some in the next couple of days, for the Xbox Game Pass subscribers out there. But that wraps up today's episode of the Jam Pack Report. If you're new here and you enjoy what you see or what you hear, hit that subscribe button over on YouTube or add the show to your podcast feed of choice and get it delivered to you every single Sunday. If you want even more of me, I'm now the ongoing co-host on Project X Talk, an Xbox podcast hosted over on Save the Game Media. I'll have it linked in the comment section down below, and I'm very excited to be a part of that show and having some conversations on Xbox with Kevin Ainsworth, the Muffin Mon. Definitely worth diving in. But until next time, you guys have a fantastic rest of your week. I'll talk to you soon, and as always, keep on playing.